The next case for this morning is case number 093245, United States versus Fault.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. It's clear here that Mr. Fault was a purveyor and a collector of child pornography. He had quite a bit of it. That's not in dispute. He had thousands of images stored in his computers at home. And from his standpoint, the more he had, the better, because this was a bartering system in which he engaged. The more images he had, the more he could trade in cyberspace and barter for more. And it was a revolving door. It's also clear from the evidence that this was something ongoing all the time. He was engaged in this process around the clock, and we know that from his own admission. He was in possession of images. He had them at home. He sent them out into cyberspace. People would barter and exchange other images, and he'd get more, and it kept on going.
I'm not getting how this is helping your case.
Well, it's also clear that on one occasion, on one date in July 2006, he sends out a certain number of images to Agent Mooney, the undercover officer on the West Coast, who's gone into the chat room and befriended Mr. Faulds, and distributes those 12 images and a movie to the agent. This is what the agent had asked for. This is what he downloads. So he's distributed this on this occasion. The problem here, and what isn't clear, is that the images for which he's charged and convicted of possessing, on the one hand, in one count, is distinct and separate conduct or distinct and separate images from what he sends out to Agent Mooney. We don't know that they're different.
Well, the distribution count was based on that discrete act of distribution involving the undercover agent. The possession count was based on all the stuff that the agents found in his possession when they went to the house.
We don't know that. We could surmise that. Clearly, he had images above and beyond the 12 that he sent to Agent Mooney. I think that's clear. I can't dispute that. That stuff was there. They examined his hard drives. He had a lot of other stuff, a lot of other images that he did not send out to Agent Mooney. Agent Mooney didn't ask for it. I don't think that's the point. The point is that the jury, the way that the case was pled and tried, there's no way of knowing that the conduct is separate. We don't know what he was convicted for in the way of possession. The images
we have two different dates. Why
correct.
Isn't that enough?
Well, because when they
one date, which is the discrete act of downloading to the undercover agent, that's July 16th.
Correct.
And then the possession count is August 18th, which is the
correct
stuff that was seized.
The date that the search warrant was issued and the stuff.
How is it unclear?
Well, when the police enter, the computer is still running, and the 12 images and the movie that Agent Mooney had downloaded a month previous are still on the computer. So Mr. Faulds is at that point in time, in August, in possession of those images, and he has the previous month distributed them. But we don't know that the subject matter of the possession count is anything other than those images.
Except
it's not charged that way.
8,000 images.
I don't think.
Not just that one.
Granted, clearly. But I don't think we can take our conjecture and superimpose it on this jury verdict.
For all conjecture, that was all in evidence, right?
But it wasn't argued to the jury? No. It was in evidence that there were other images. There were a certain number of other images.
Well, and some of them were displayed for the jury until they said they had seen enough, right?
Correct. But without a special verdict form from the jury and without an instruction to the jury which describes the conduct or the images under the possession count as it's charged, we don't know what they found. Maybe we don't know.
You don't need a special verdict form in a case like this in order to survive a double jeopardy challenge. Count one charged a discrete act of distribution on one date. Count two charged possession of a boatload of other child pornography images on a different date. The statutes are different. There's different elements. So we've got different elements and different facts.
Have I run out of time?
Oh, you're good.
The statutes are different. This isn't a classic Blockburger problem.
You can't escape with the time. You got to keep going.
No, I have a little bit more to say. I think the problem here, we can look to the recent case by this court of the Gary Peel case, is that Rutledge controls more so than Blockburger. We've got the distribution count as a subset of the possession count. In other words, we've got a set of images that Mr. Folds possessed, some of which make up the distribution count, but they're not necessarily distinct acts.
So
they're overlapping acts and overlapping harms.
Is your theory that if, in fact, the possession charge is based upon the same depictions as the delivery charge, double jeopardy is offended?
Absolutely, and I think that's clear from Beal, or Peel. Yes.
Why do you think that's clear? You cite receiving and possession cases, but you've cited no case in which a delivery of a depiction that occurs before the actual charge of the possession is considered double jeopardy. I mean, the fact that these are digitized means you can deliver them more than once, you can deliver them and still possess them. Why is that not... If the focus of the statute is on the delivery, which is the crime in one case, and the possession is the crime as to the other, why does it matter if they're the same depictions or not?
Well, we do know that he's still in possession of those images on the latter date in time, in August. They're still there. When the police arrive, those images that Agent Mooney had previously downloaded are still there. So Mr. Folds is still in possession of what he had previously sent out or transmitted.
You're treating it as if it's a photograph, but these are digital depictions. And the point is, let's say he had multiple copies. He gives copies to the agent in July, and he's charged for delivering those copies. Now he's charged upon the execution of the search warrant. He's still in possession of other copies of them. Now he's also guilty of possessing them. Does that offend double jeopardy?
It does where it's not charged and where it's not argued and where the jury hasn't specifically found it. I think it does. And that's certainly what the other circuits that I cited brief have done.
Those cases all deal with a receiving and a possession. And, of course, if you receive it, you inevitably possess it. But you can deliver it to someone else and still possess as well. If you possess it afterwards, it means you had more than one copy, and to use pre-computer language.
Well, and I'm not saying that these aren't different harms. Certainly Mr. Folds could have possessed images on the one hand, maybe stashed stuff under his bed on other media, and distributed images, distinct other images. And there would have been two harms there for which he could have been sentenced on each. But where we don't know in this case that those are distinct harms or distinct or different
images.
But
we do know because he delivered in July and he was still possessing, he was found to possess in August. I mean, the possession charge was based upon what was found on his computer in August. The delivery charge was based on what he delivered in July. So we know the two separate harms occurred on different dates, and really, even if they involve depictions of the same or digitizations of the same depiction, they're different crimes, aren't they?
They may be different crimes, and they may constitute different conduct, but I don't believe under Rutledge and the other cases cited in my brief by other circuits that he can be sentenced on both of them. And he was. He was sentenced to 20 years on the distribution and 10 years on the possession. And I think that is double jeopardy. I think it's being twice convicted or twice sentenced for potentially the same conduct, because we don't know otherwise from this record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Richard Cox on behalf of the United States. I must say that a number of the questions from the members of the panel have sort of stolen some of my argument. It seems to me that this all boils down to whether this is the same conduct. That's our argument. And I think if it's the same images, even if they are separated by, and they are separated by 1 month in time, one involves an act of distribution, a wholly separate and distinct act from that of possession. Distribution is an active act, for want of a better word. You're giving up possession. So all of the cases that are cited by Ms. Kister from other circuits that deal with receipt and possession, of course, receipt is a passive form of conduct also. All it means is acquiring possession. And so the rationale of those cases, quite frankly, even though this court hasn't decided that specific issue, we're not disagreeing with for purposes of this case, because we have a distribution which is wholly different conduct from possession. And here, not only is it wholly separate conduct, it's separated by a month. We have a distribution of child pornography in July, followed by a search warrant, execution, and the recovery of more than 9,000 other images of child pornography, and we don't dispute that among those 9,000 images were also the 12 pictures and the movie that the agent downloaded in July. So unless the court has any questions with regard to that, then I will give back the balance of my time and ask you to affirm the judgment and sentence. Thank you.
Anything further?
No. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, counsel. And you were appointed to represent your client. Thank you very much on behalf of the court for your services to counsel and or to your client and the court.
You're welcome.